You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast, and here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Tennis.com podcast, the Aussie Open edition. Steve Tigner and Ed McGrogan here, getting together after the latest Federer-Nadal match. This semifinal, as have many in the past, have gone to Rafa. He wins 7-6, 6-3, 6-3. This is her 33rd meeting. It was her 33rd meeting. Rafa's now 23-10 over Roger. Lopsided record lately, especially in majors as well. I think a stat that a lot of us forgot, but is still kind of jarring to hear, is that Federer hasn't beaten Rafa at a major since 2007 at Wimbledon. As you wrote, Steve, after the match, this performance today from Rafa was really kind of a reminder of just what makes the matchup so difficult for Roger.
Yeah, you know, we've seen Federer play well the last two rounds, win easily over Song and you know, pretty comfortably over Murray. And, you know, we started to think that maybe Federer, you know, we talked here about how maybe Federer could, you know, maybe he's playing well enough and Rafa's is a little subpar. Maybe Federer could do something this time, could turn it around. And of course, pretty quickly it became clear that that wasn't going to be the case. The first set was pretty close, but Nadal was the better player in that set. He was the one who had break points. I anticipated, and what usually happens in these matches is Federer jumps out to a fast start, maybe wins the first set, but even that didn't happen. Rafa made sure that didn't happen. You know, we just saw that, and Federer said it after the match, it's just a different matchup for him. He has to change his game. For him to play Murray and Rafa is just a completely different world. Not even so much their levels of play, just the way that Nadal plays. You know, he's left-handed. Not only is he left-handed, but he's just very careful about and very good at neutralizing any of the things that Federer wants to do. If he wants to attack, can't attack his serve because it always goes into the backhand and always, Rafa mixes up the placement of the backhand well too, gets him out wide and goes into the body, and he can't really attack. It's tough to attack from the ground because of the heaviness of Nadal's shots. And Nadal just played well. He just played better. He looked in control, maybe a couple of nervous moments here and there, but, you know, he was just...
You got the sense that even if... You get the sense, really, from my thought, that even if Rafa wasn't at the level that he was at, this would still have been very difficult for Federer. But it didn't help, of course, that Rafa was really giving Federer pretty much everything he gave him on the usual backhand to forehand rally patterns. I thought Federer actually, for the most part, really hit his backhand well tonight. I thought the best one he hit came right back at him for a winner, which kind of, you know, typifies everything. I thought Rafa, of course, hit his backhand very well too. I thought it was a good match for people who like backhands, for sure. And, you know, overall, you know, Rafa showed none of the, you know, at least visually, besides the zoom in during the medical timeout, there was really no evidence of that blister, you know, making an impact on his game. I mean, was there any... That didn't even pop into my head. I don't know about you.
No, his serve was fine. I mean, he wasn't blasting his serve, but he didn't have any troubles. Not many double faults, if any. And like you said about Federer's backhand, he hit his backhand pretty well, but he could only hit two winners with it. You know, that shows what Nadal can do, even if somebody's hitting the ball well.
Yeah, and... it's another example, I think, of when we look back and you know, see the kind of really support Roger had, not just fan support, but kind of some people moving over to his side after so much evidence historically of the contrary to what Nadal can do. I mean, you just saw how it played out yet again tonight, and the record, you know, just becomes more shifting towards Rafa, and he can really kind of put Federer down with a win in the final, of course. Not only would he collect a 14th slam, he could do so. You know, this time he would also actually take out another little ally of Federer's, Stan Wawrinka, his buddy there. So that's the final. It's in, you know, to me, after watching this, you know, I know it's, when you're watching tennis, it's almost like what you saw last really leaves the biggest impression. But, you know, if Federer in this form couldn't really dent Nadal, it's really hard for me to see Wawrinka, even the way he's playing, being able to do, you know, much more than that. I think maybe a set is kind of really the most optimistic I give Wawrinka in this match. But to me, it looks like kind of, you know, one of those first-time finalists going up against, you know, the ultimate battle-tested warrior here.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, probably the last five times that Nadal and Wawrinka have played, I've said, this is the match where Wawrinka is finally going to win a set. Not the match. He's never won a set from Rafa in their 12 matches. Every time I speculate that, and he's come close. He's had set points, but he still hasn't done it. So I'm not going to even go out on a limb and say that Stan's going to win a set. He's been playing great. He's been playing, you know, been mentally tougher and just all around better. And he can definitely challenge Rafa, but I can't predict anything but straight sets for Nadal based on the history.
Yeah, it is going to be the same. It's going to be very similar in a lot of ways to today, with, you know, the countries going against each other. You're going to see the same forehand to backhand pattern. It's going to test. It's clearly going to test Wawrinka. You know, it's been an Australian Open of tests for him, and he's passed a lot of them. But it's so hard to picture him coming out of this with that final win. But we shall see, I suppose. I think perhaps the women's final is a little tougher to call, even though the rankings of the two participants are much different than the men's final, because, you know, with Li Na, we have a two-time finalist in Australia, but we have a player who is never a sure thing. She obviously could have been out of this tournament last week if she didn't get a match point miss by about 5 inches. And in Sabolkova, you're getting a player who's really on a tear right now, hitting a great ball. You know, with her win over Radwanska in the semis, I mean, you couldn't even envision that sort of just domination from her there. You know, what are your thoughts on this women's final? Because this one's a little trickier to talk about.
Well, Li Na's is 4-0 against Sabolkova. Some of those matches have been close. Some of the sets have been close. So I wouldn't say this is going to be a blow-up, but she's a strong favorite. She's won a slam, so she doesn't have that nervous, I'm going for my first slam thing. But at the same time, like you said, she will be nervous, and she can succumb to nerves, and I would anticipate that she'll have some bad moments. She's not going to, wouldn't say she's going to roll through this match. Sibylkova won't have as much to lose, and she showed, you know, she showed a closing ability against Radwanska. Didn't really show any nerves, even pulling off an upset there. She just came out and blasted her off the court, nothing, and kept going. It is conceivable to think that she could do something similar, not something similar to Li Na, but that she could keep playing that well and beat Li Na. That's not out of the question. But you know, I think you have to take Li. She's played in the finals here twice already and gone three sets both times. And she has that sort of thing where she's playing on sort of extra time, having basically been out of the tournament against Safarova. But like you said, Safarova missed a shot by 5 inches to put her out of the tournament. I feel like that's almost helped Li be more relaxed since then.
Can I actually ask about Radwanska? Because just thinking back on really what, you know, how badly she's lost the semifinal and how, you know, how big a chance I think a lot of us obviously thought this was for her, with so much of the top tier out of the way. And this is, you know, coming off of last year's really Wimbledon semifinal missed opportunity as well. I mean, and you're someone who I know has spoken highly of Radwanska, her game. It's very appealing to watch. You know, what do you think about this going forward, maybe this year, and just in general, kind of her down the road? I mean, this is a pretty dispiriting loss, I would think, for someone like her to take, and you know, you start talking about those top players who haven't been able to break through, and you see maybe what happens to them. I'm kind of thinking of like Wozniacki here along the same lines. You know, what do you think about Radwanska going forward? Because this is a pretty tough loss.
Yeah, it's tough, especially tough because the day before she played the best set of her life to beat Azarenka, a really fantastic, probably the highlight of the whole tournament. And then she comes in and throws in this terrible match where she basically barely moves and gets blown off the court by a person ranked way below her. I think she said the same. She had the same thing happen at Wimbledon last year. She had all the top players have been knocked out. She had a really good chance to win the tournament, even better than this one. But she lost to a player that she would normally beat in Lisicki. It wasn't as bad as this match, but she lost, and she came in and said that she was tired. She played too many three-set matches. She said the same thing in this tournament. I'd say that's just something you're going to have to deal with and learn to deal with. I think, you know, I think she'll have to, you know, that's just not something you can come in and say and really use as an excuse, because that's just the way it's going to be. You have to play a lot of matches to get to the semifinals. And also I wonder whether part of it was mental. She didn't seem to react well either time to having a real opening to winning a Grand Slam. She said it was a physical issue, and I believe her, but I also seemed to me that she didn't react well to the moment mentally.
Yeah. Well, we'll catch up after the two finals, whether it is in from the New York to Melbourne podcast or back here. But that is next time you'll hear from both of us on the podcast. And in the meantime, of course, check out Steve's reports on tennis.com from both the finals and from today's Federer-Nadal semifinal. Thank you to Steve, and thank you all for listening. Tennis.com.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.